Hi there, Ome, and welcome back for another episode of the Hard Knock Sorority, a 4th edition Shadowrun actual play. My name is Paul, and I am the GM. Players are Veronica as Cecile, aka College Girl, Kat as Deandra, Val as Ollie, aka Boxer, Beth as Grace, aka Nightingale. Dex couldn't make it for this session. Beth and Val had to cut the session short, so this is mostly just downtime type stuff. I hope you enjoy the show. Good evening, Craig. All right, so what happened last time?
Before we start, can I get access to her sheet so that I can access it on my computer?
Of course.
I've kept it.
Horse is a horse, of course.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
Just said horse.
The wonderful Mr. Talking Head.
And now we flash cut over to Grim, who is just gaming. Just sitting there in a chair, gaming.
He says something kind of off color in like a moment of gamer rage. And then like there's just silence on the comm in game. And then they're like, dude, that's kind of fucked up.
He's just slowly, quietly eating a bowl of cereal in an empty room.
Cereal? Grim doesn't have that much money.
Don't worry, it doesn't. It has water in it.
Soy cereal.
So what happened last time was, actually, why don't Cecile and Deander tell us what happened last time?
I have to remember something for more than an hour? Oh no.
Well, Cecile went and bought a comlink and some spells and some programs.
And very slightly pissed off a shopkeep.
And she went and talked to Kaylee. So maybe that's what she did, if you want to expound on that.
Yes, she had a heart-to-heart with Kaylee, even though Kaylee was probably not fully aware of the heart-to-heart.
And where did you have a talk with Kaylee?
At the Samovar. Cecile went to the Samovar, talked with Nadia.
Yeah, you did talk to Nadia for a while. And Nadia, you spent some quality time with Nadia as well, right?
Yes, Cecile is now proficient at manipulation spells. And also very creeped out by Nadia.
I feel like Cecile's creeped out by most people.
That's not true. Just to everyone in the shadows.
And Mary Luce.
Okay, Mary Luce isn't...
She's and not Alice DeVry.
Okay, Alice DeVry is creepy. She mind probes people. Nightingale is an extraterrestrial.
She's a free spirit.
She is an alien! Look at her! She makes evil... She puts people in trances with evil dances!
She didn't enter the country legally.
I'm sorry, she's too cute for this planet.
She isn't giving us a chance to compete. It's unfair.
They are taking your jobs.
They are disrupting the market
for once.
But anyway, Cecile went to the Samovar after shopping for a comm link and some spells and spoke to Nadia, got some intel from her, became proficient with manipulation spells, and learned mob control, which is going to be very useful at some point in the future, I hope.
Right. For somebody who is very, very repelled by the shadows and everything in it, she's learning spells like mob control.
Okay, look, you... Mob control is a pacifist spell. And to be fair, large groups of things have been trying to kill her lately, so it seemed prudent.
She also bought a comlink that... She didn't buy a comlink. She bought the parts of a comlink.
Well, yeah. Gotta have a project. And she's also, you know, going to do research about who made a bomb, but, you know, that's just normal. Really, it would be out of character if she didn't do that.
So how was this? So you said she had a heart-to-heart with Kaylee.
Yeah, she had a heart-to-heart with Kaylee, where basically Cecile was like, hey, you know, your biological father didn't know anything about this. You should maybe, like, have a conversation with him. See what he's like, you know?
He was pretty ambivalent about that, wasn't she?
Indeed. But it seems, at least for the moment, that Cecile has stopped her revenge campaign against this man.
Right, her own personal revenge campaign. Well, however, she's given the pay data to Mary Luce,
did I give to Mary Luce again?
The whole Warehouse Alliance stuff.
Oh, did I?
Because Mary Luce wants to get rid of Kirill Petrov.
Yes, that's right.
So that is in motion. And then Deander was trying very hard to get in touch with Cecile unsuccessfully. Cecile was leaving her on red. And so Deander went and discovered some other interesting things connected with her past and also connected with her future, potentially.
She went to say hi to the fan club in disguise.
And the fan club reacted enthusiastically.
And now she's attempting to keep them out of trouble.
What kind of trouble were they in?
They were sitting outside of a Russian mob front. And drawing attention to it, which the mob doesn't like.
So Olga, that was Olga's tea house, and Olga called you upstairs for a little one-on-one personal chat and revealed some things to Deander.
Yep. Things that... are personal between Deander and Olga.
Yeah, and then Deander went to Bellevue, which is the poshest part of Seattle, where the clubhouse is.
And promised to teach kids spiritual or fencing one day a week to keep them out of trouble.
So Deander is now going to be mentoring elf wannabes in Bellevue in the fine arts of fencing and spirethial. I love it.
I mean, those are the two things Deander knows. I mean, other than breaking into places.
Somewhere, there's a group chat of very rich parents very upset at Deander.
Somewhere there is a group chat of very rich parents very upset with Deander.
You're assuming that these parents actually pay attention to what their kids are doing.
Nor do they know the whole story.
While Cecile and Deander were doing that, what were Grace and Boxer doing? When they left the warehouse last, they said that they were going to go do some camping.
Oh, well, Grace is in need of some magical equipment, and she doesn't have it, like, period, currently. She only really has the tools, which Now that I think about it, it's just her body for low-level spellcasting. She wants to get a formula for a Force 4 spellcasting, no, sustaining focus, and that's her current objective. I don't know really what traditions would be compatible with her tradition.
Didn't you just hide her?
It could be hermetic, it could be shaman, it doesn't really matter so long as it's not prohibitively rare, which I don't think it would have to be, because ultimately it's like all wigwag, you know?
Yeah, I don't feel like it's shamanic. I do see more similarities to hermetic.
Then,
if you want to, unless you're, I mean, if you want to have a, if you want to design a specific tradition, that's fine too.
Oh, she has a specific tradition already. It's just a matter of what formulae would be compatible with hers, which hermetic makes.
None of them are.
Help! Help! I can't even do spell formulae.
Please. You have to convert them using arcana.
I'm not going to do that for spells.
So you already have a contact for this type of thing, right?
Yes, it's Greg. Greg, who I wistfully spoke about at one point, you know, dropping from the sky. That guy.
And he attempted to introduce you to a magical society in the hopes that he could ride your coattails.
Yeah, but they were racist as hell, and Grace did not take very nicely to that. She stood up for herself, like, in the first time, I think, in the game.
So that was the Hermetic Order of the Auric Aurora.
Yeah.
And let's see, who did you meet? What was the guy's name again?
It was, I don't know, but I imagined like this rotund guy in like a black graphic tee and like has a scrappy curly beard with like a high ponytail.
I think I actually described him as sort of a Father Christmas kind of figure. And his name was Dylan Pike, and he operates the Order chapter out of Pike's home in downtown near the Pacific University. There's a store, there's a lore store on the ground level called Blue Moon Lore Store, which is where you met him.
And he told Nightingale, sorry, we do not accept non-metahumans. And she did not take very kindly. And I think that was actually a point of strain between Greg and Nightingale.
It was.
Grace. I mean, Greg. Fuck. Frag. Greg and Grace. There we go.
So there are other, I mean, there are other societies that Grace has probably heard of. There's the United Talismongers Association, which seems like a likely source.
Are they corporate?
They're a professional association. So, yeah, sort of corporate.
Mm.
Or you could try to find, you know, just a local mom and pop type magic store.
That'd probably be for the best. I feel like if she went through such a formal channel, that would too much exposure. You know, they'd probably have to say something if a free spirit came asking them for focus formulae.
There's always some risk in making yourself known to people who have an interest in magical things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's always a risk.
All right, so you're looking for that. What is Ollie doing?
Probably helping me look.
Look, I've never been able to explore this magic stuff. I'm curious about it.
And where are you guys hanging out? Because you've been told that in Auburn, the search is on for Boxer, at least. Probably not Grace.
Weren't we at that one thing?
When we left you were in Tacoma, down by the docks, southwest area.
Didn't they decide to come to Terraslar with me?
Or did we leave? Did we leave Terraslar?
But I know. I assume we would have stayed around.
I'm asking, Paul.
Yeah, I don't think you did leave Terraslar, actually, but Deander did. So I don't know whether you were going to be... I think you were only there for a night or two.
Well, I could possibly find a magic shop there. Could I not?
There's the same place that Cecile went to in Tacoma.
But it's corporate, right? Or is it a local shop?
It's sort of it's an odd cross between Cecile. Veronica described it as a cross between like a New Age hippie store and an Apple store. They specialize in both high, you know, the latest in online
type equipment. So that's where she bought her comlink parts, as well as talismans, hermetic supplies, and lore books.
I want some place that is specifically dedicated to the craft and less traffic. Maybe one that's not at all of interest to mundane.
You'd probably have to ask around for that one. You know? Ask the locals. Actually, Dander would know, so you could call her up.
Dander isn't magic, though.
If only you knew someone who was.
I guess hypothetically I know someone who's magic.
Yeah, at some point, you're going to have to tell me what you guys are doing. And always be me telling you what you're doing.
Paul's going to really snippy. I'm sorry. We had a snake fiend come and burst into my room. I should have deployed the Kiss Valerie strategy to get her out, but I am... Sorry, where were we? Oh yeah, legwork. Still, I don't feel like Nightingale really has a relationship with Cecile. It's just, Cecile is just so abrasive, and even as co-workers, they don't have a good mesh. She would probably think to go to Deander first.
I bet Deander knows someone in Kerseer, but probably not in Seattle. So,
well, she may just text her, not even call her. Just like, hey, I'm looking for a magic shop in town near Hideaway? Tree emoji.
So in Terraslar, Deander does know of one place. Most everybody knows about this who's spent any time in the shadows or shadow adjacent, shall we say. And it's the crime mall. And it's literally called the crime mall. It's in Terraslar. It's a 3-story mall.
I think Deander texts Grace back, like, not immediately, but after a few minutes. Is like, I know a place, but I don't think I should let you go to the crime.
Why no crime mall?
So I imagine Deander would want to come with you if you wanted to go to the crime mall.
Crime mall.
Deander's next text to Nightingale is, it's not exactly somewhere a Cele want to go on their own, especially since it's run in close relation with some very not quite top-of-the-line folks. So, would you like to go to the crime mall?
Thinking emoji. Blink. Yes! Crime mall. I want to go to the crime mall.
Well, crime mall it is.
All right, so you head out. You guys head out to the crime mall. Imagine Ollie's tagging along.
Yes.
So it's Deander, Ollie, and Grace headed to the crime mall. It's a 3-story mall building on the outskirts of Puyallup, and it's basically Terraslar adjacent. And as you approach it, you see that this is still Puyallup, so as I've described Puyallup before, this is the grimmest of the grim of Seattle, just one step above the Redmond Barrens. But some people might think it's worse because of the persistent sort of sooty, greasy, ashy rain that is a result of the volcanic magma slides that are on the outskirts. But the crime mall is a bustling place of business, and you see actually several different gang colors right alongside just normal people going about their business, merchants and street vendors for foods, BTLs, cowhots, all sorts of different illicit goods and weapons, you know. Basically, anything. If you think crime mall and think what you might be selling in a crime mall, that's what's going on.
What's a BTL?
Better than life chip.
Don't ask about
it. No, like, I'm imagining, like, they walk in and they're just, like, out in the open of the crime mall, looking around, and there's like a stall or something advertising BTLs and like, I don't know, something else depraved, and she's just like, what's a BTL?
Don't ask that question again.
So it's like an illusion, but it's behind your eyes. Yeah, I know.
No, the whole body, the senses, all of them. But with the BTL, what they do is they turn that up to better than what you could experience in real life. So people get trapped in there. It's just like any of the other drugs you've heard of.
Wait, what do you... What?
They're not literally trapped. They just don't have to leave. They just keep buying more. And the dealers, of course, make the chips wipe themselves out when they're done. I've known an addict. They're physically held. They just... Anyway, it's not the kind of thing to mess with.
Okay.
Is Grace in disguise, or is she going as herself?
I imagine Grace is just in her actual form, but with her scarf pulled up over her snoot and the collar of her cloak pulled up, and of course her practitioner's cap on. Yeah, probably.
I think Deandre is not wearing her cop outfit to
the crime mall. That's probably okay.
So, in the crime mall, you do see Lone Star patrolmen in Lone Star uniforms, but you get the impression that they're mostly just here to pick up protection money.
Since when did Leandra, what are Lone Star doing here?
I used to...
This is why I didn't join CorpSec. They're basically mobs, crime families. They take protection money from whoever.
Why protection money? What I have a question about is, why isn't the night end?
It's because Lone Star is easier to bribe you.
Yeah, Knight Errant might care, but since they probably don't have a contract with Puyallup, it might be Lone Star who has the local contract for security. Knight Errant probably just doesn't care. But the mall itself is just sort of a seething hub of metahuman activity. Lots of noise, lots of smells. There are a lot of food vendors here, so you're getting a lot of, you know, foods cooking on little stalls over open flames or being microwaved. You know, from every corner of the world, you're seeing Chinese, Japanese, Mexican. There's just a huge melange of food smells in the air and a cacophony of noise, because a lot of the vendors, or even most of the vendors, have little speakers or trid screens blaring in their stalls to attract your attention, or because the shop keeps just bored and watching like reruns of some of the local urban brawl games and things like that.
So are we just here for Talismonger, or do we want to get as well?
According to the myth of crime, both.
I mean, now that you mention it, and she like glances around, she obviously tenses up and like pulls away from a particular stall or corner, and she says, most of it, but literally, physically, the food.
Grace might also be slightly repelled and or attracted by the astral perception in this mall. I mean, this is a crime mall. There are a lot of bad people here. There are a lot of desperate people here. There are a lot of people engaged in or thinking about, you know, illicit things. So on the astral, this is probably also quite a strange and intense place. There are a number of spirits loitering around, watcher spirits, other spirits. So, you know, they're either providing security for local vendors or for the mall, or they are security for somebody else who's here. So you know and you see other people who are perceiving or can perceive in the astral. This is sort of a very intense cross-section of Seattle's underbelly. For Grace.
Yeah. She's a little disturbed and uncomfortable at first, like once they get past the immediate front, and she is really able to feel it, the ilk that is lingering here on the stalls, on the people, that sullies the ground and hangs in the air like a miasma. But as she's going through it, It's not like she likes it. She comes to like it, but it's interesting. It's something that she hasn't seen very much of. Not all of this together at the same time, this cacophony of suffering and pleasure and desperation and social maneuvering. It's a very unique smell.
Mm-hmm. Greed, yeah. Boredom, fear, that's all here.
Whenever her senses are done being assaulted and she maybe cried a few tears just from the overstimulation or overstimulation plus other more complicated feeling. I imagine there's also a lot of like unnecessary noise.
There is a lot of unnecessary noise. Like I said, every stall, every shopkeep, everything has some kind of trid screen going, music blasting, and then there's just this general din of people doing business. You hear, you know, animal sounds, people sounds, music, various clashing kinds of music going on.
Oh,
it's a cacophony.
That'd probably give her a headache. I imagine her ears are pinned down.
I think Diandera might be feeling slightly some of the negative effects of the glamour as well.
Yeah, probably. You know what? I think this would be a perfect opportunity for Diandera to bust out her old punk ska outfit. So she's wearing like the worst outfit you've ever seen her in, too. It's like leather jacket with checkered pleated khaki pants and what looks like a mesh top underneath her jacket. And she's basically like sitting there staring at the other two of them, waiting for them to respond to her question before she realizes she might need to ask it again. Do we want to wander around the crime mall, or do we get some intel and then move straight to our talismonger?
I think I'd like to go to the talismonger first, if not only.
Well, I don't know where it is, but I know someone who could find out. There was this shawarma stall back when I was a wee little thing. Maybe they're still around, and Dinder just walks off, like giving a come follow me wave at the two of them.
I imagine there's like a movie moment where like the overstimulated Nightingale, like she's trying to follow after Diandera, but Diandera gets lost in the mass of people, and then she's just like stood there at first alone, and then Boxer's with her.
I think like a few seconds later, Diandera just pops back up and is like, "Come on, this way." Sorry.
Are you sure? Are you sure it would still be here? You said since you were a kid.
Well, so I was in a band that came here often, but yeah, they're probably still here.
Can't
His
we
son
just
was working the thing last time. What?
Can't we just ask someone where it is?
We could, but they might lie to us.
Why would
Nightingale just breaks away and she goes to one of the stalls? She tries to pick someone who's less intimidating.
All right, roll 1d6.
Oh no. What interesting, terrible character will he give me? I rolled a 3.
All right, so the nearest stall that you roll up to is, in fact, a beetle vendor. And he has sort of a small cart with a ton of little plastic boxes arrayed. And as you approach them, well, you don't see it. But if Boxer is running AR, she sees the AR images of each of these BTL's contents sort of popping up in front of her. You know, they're all sorts of different things, you know, be the movie star, be this, be that. And he's got cowhots, he's got basically all sorts of things. He's a small-time operator, and he's a dwarf. He's quite rotund and with slick-back black hair. He's Native American, and he's wearing these sort of silver aviators with gold frames, and he's actually eating some shawarma.
Hey, do you know where the shawarma place is?
He looks down at you and says, he sort of gives a little start and he says, just head down this hallway right here and then take a left. What are you? Are you in disguise? That's a pretty cool disguise.
Stop asking, Chuma. We are staying.
When Boxer says that to him, he immediately looks away and starts pretending like he didn't see you guys.
Nightingale would probably straight up laugh. just like fucking cackle, and then go down the way he pointed, pausing just for a moment to glance back like a dog to confirm owner is following before she goes darting off to go find the shawarma place. Seeking out the thing without careful. Make a perception.
All right, so all three of you make a perception roll.
We love perception here in this house.
And you can add, if you know anything, if you have any knowledge, skills for anything crime-related, underworld-related, police-related, law enforcement-related, you can add that as a bonus.
What about heightens smell, question?
No, that's, in this case, that's not going to help.
Not in hearing doesn't either?
No.
Okay.
For one thing, everything is you're drowned out by the sights and sounds and smells.
That's what Val said. So that second one I rolled there was for Boxer. So I rolled a 3 and she rolled a 2.
Okay. So Deandir and Nightingale, as you're going through, you're perceiving that there are actually, even though this is called the crime mall, there are a lot of security cameras. And there are a lot of security people, although they're not uniform security people. What you're seeing and picking out as security is people in gang colors, mostly ancients. A couple of other gangs are there, and you imagine that they're tolerating each other because this is neutral ground. You do pick up that quite a few of them are paying attention to your group. You feel like your group probably stands out quite a bit, but between Deandir and Boxer, nobody's going to start trouble. And Ollie, you get sort of these same perceptions, not quite as detailed. You realize that this is, you know, a place run by criminal elements, and you do pick up on the fact that there are quite a few gangers, and you imagine that they're here for security. You push your way through the crowd, following the directions of the BTL dealer, until you indeed see ahead of you a shawarma cart. It's in the middle of the hallway, and there is a line of people ordering food from it.
Is that the place?
Deandir would know. I'm just going to say yes. And I think Deandir just says, I told you'd be here.
Yeah, it's still here. And it's still pretty much operating the way it always did. However, the man who is operating the kiosk is not the old man that you remember who was running it, but rather probably his son.
To answer your question, Nightingale, I'm 62.
She like does a double take. You do not look that old.
I'm an elf.
Is the glamour perceived differently in the astral? Does it have any kind of astral signature?
I think the glamour gets kind of gummed up in the astral with like Deandir's symbiosis. So like I think Deandir just looks bigger than she normally is. Like her aura is kind of muddled with the different other parts of the astral when you look at her.
Yeah, almost that would like, be interesting. So she's bigger because parts of the natural auras around her are melding with her own.
Yeah, and I think if we were in like an area with a vegetation or with plants, I think you would see like lines running from Deandir to the plant, probably. Like very thin shimmers, almost not real ones, not full connections, just like the faintest sense of them.
Okay.
So as you're perceiving Deandir right now, talking to her, you do see some of these signs, and as you follow these little silvery lines back, you see that there is a, in the astral, you, it doesn't look like this, but since you're dual natured, you're seeing both. They're leading back to what looks to be a kind of a pet store that's selling all sorts of non-traditional pets, let's say. Not necessarily awakened animals, but definitely also not just your run-of-the-mill stuff.
Nightingale breaks away from the group on a short tangent, and she moves over to the pet store. She doesn't go in, but she just peeks in through the door, and she glances around, and she pulls away immediately, obviously a little horrified at what she just saw. Was it blasting music in there, too?
I think so, yeah. I think everywhere is.
Oh, my goodness. Ugh, those poor animals.
Yeah, there were a lot of unhappy critters in there. And some of them were quite angry, and some of them were quite dangerous.
They're, well, I can't see them because they're all behind glass. Wait, are they all behind glass?
No, some of them are flying around or on chains.
Okay. Okay, what she probably starts to say, no, they're all behind glass, and then something like flits by and she pauses and she moves back up and she actually makes eye contact from the desk around and she pulls back out and she's walking.
Was that the
back
bat?
Towards the Schwarmer place and continuing the group to follow. The animals are not happy at all. And if I was them, I'd probably lose my mind, like everything. Are you saying animals are automata? Like, I thought that they were like people, but smaller here.
The plants in there are pretty happy.
It's a bit more complicated than that. There are orders of mind, higher, lower.
Well, children are lower too, but we wouldn't subject them to that, would we?
We're running a little less.
Anyway, Deander, could you ask the Schwarmer person? I don't want to get too close, because...
I think Deander has been standing in line to get Schwarma the whole time. She's just waiting every now and then, making a comment to the rest of the group.
And you're standing, you know, basically between a couple of ancient gangers and a couple of orcs who seem like they're from another gang that you don't recognize. And they're sort of pointedly ignoring each other. And then there's just a couple of other regular mundane people, and then in a couple of minutes you're up next for your order, and the younger man turns around, looks at you, he says, yeah, what are you having?
Two chickens, hold the veg. Or two soy chicken, hold the veg.
We only have real.
Well, two chickens, hold the veg. And is there a talismonger around here me and Life go to? The one that you'd recommend?
Let's see. I think you probably want to go down and see Mama Rosita's. She's down at the other end of the mall on the first floor. Tell her Tony sent you.
I think then the second names are mentioned. Deander's like, so you're Tony, right?
Yeah, I'm Tony.
I knew your dad back when he ran this shop in the 30s.
You knew Pops?
You guys probably still have some of the old Fresh Fish merch sitting around.
Fresh Fish. Where do I know that name from?
It's a ska band.
Band. That was you?
Yeah. With my... everyone else there is dead. I think for a second, Deander just looks horrified by that thought.
Yeah, for a minute he was looking excited, and then he's like, sobers up. He's like, yeah, that's true. I heard that. Man, where have you been?
Kerasir.
Oh, I see. And he sort of turns away.
Well, man, thanks for the advice. Thanks for the shawarma.
Here you go, two chickens.
And then Deander just, like, walks off back to the group. And then just, like, she, like, immediately starts eating one. And then it's like, you guys want the other?
I do not want that.
Boxer, you have, you've gotten distracted by a store that looks like it's selling, some security grade merch. Looks like they've got some sweet body armor and weaponry and some things of that nature.
Well, I know where to get our talismonger is now, so let's head up.
Right, I can drool over gunslinger. I want to see the magic. Chris, you'll show me around, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys walk through the mall, and I guess you can make another perception check for me.
Watch this all fell out miserably and get mugged.
Even be toyed.
And hearing/smell wouldn't apply here, right?
Nope.
Okay, then.
Grace is single-mindedly looking for this talismonger stall.
I mean, that makes sense.
Deander is eating her shawarma, but she's not as distracted by it. And Boxer, I think probably you're still on the same thing that you were before. You're probably sort of distracted by all of the goodies that you're seeing around you. But Deander, you may be picking up on the fact that very inconspicuously, very low key, there's a group of people who seem to be tailing you. Like way back, like it's not anything you could pick out. You're just noticing the patterns in the movement of the crowd.
Okay. So Deander starts speaking in Sprethiel to Boxer.
Boxer needs to make his parathial tech test.
I don't speak that.
That's really good.
Boxer's parathial is really getting good.
Dandare is basically like, I believe we have a tail. Not really following us, more like just watching where we're going. We should come up with a plan for when we get to this talismonger. How about either you two go in and I split, or me and you split and leave Nightingale to deal with the talismonger? Or I could go in Nightingale and you could split.
I don't want to leave her alone. Especially.
So it sounds good. Who's staying, who's going?
I'll stay with her.
Sounds good. Oh, when you go in, tell him Tom sent you. And if this shop is still run by the same person, then you'll be in good hands.
It was actually Tony.
Tony.
Point of order.
You made up his name. You already forgot it.
I didn't make up his name. Paul did.
Paul did. Well, Paul should have more memorable names.
Tony, the perfect. To be fair,
everybody in the world has a unique name, except for Greg. Greg does not have a unique name.
We're also forgetting about Jake.
And Jake.
We have a Zeke. And whatever Brown Dog's name is. I bet he has a boring name.
So the Talismonger is sort of in one of the side little alleyways in this mall, a little bit quieter than the rest of the place. It's actually sort of a dead end, unfortunately, for your plans. Talismonger's in the far back corner. There's no music playing in here. There's a thick smell of incense, and into Grace's astral vision, the store is lit up with magical signatures, and there are two fairly powerful spirits. One looks to be an earth spirit, and one looks to be a fire spirit, sort of standing guard out in front of the door. They're only perceptible in the astral, of course. Inside the Talismonger shop, it's sort of exactly what you would imagine. It's a bric-a-brac of mundane stuff and magical stuff and organic materials and inorganic materials, and just sort of this overlayered scent of magic. And there's an old Hispanic woman sitting in behind the counter in the back. It looks like she's maybe have nodded off. She's sort of lolled back in her chair. She's wearing sort of a big flower pattern smock, and she's got a big straw hat on. And on the counter in front of her, there's a candle that's lit that has some kind of iconography on it.
Can you remind me what her name was?
Her name was Mama Rosita, and on her lap is a little chihuahua.
Okay. Oh my goodness, the awakened chihuahua.
Yeah, it starts growling as you enter, and Mama Rosita opens one eye and looks at the door.
She's not going to come in unannounced. She's going to get to the door. She's going to acknowledge each of the spirits with a look, and then she's going to call in, you said Mama Rosera?
Rosita.
She's going to call in over the threshold. Hello, Mama Rosita? May I enter? I have business with you.
The one eye that's open looks you up and down, and there's no other movement in the body. It looks like she's asleep still, except for the one eye looking at you and the little chihuahua that's in her lap growling at you. And is Boxer with Grace?
Yeah. She.
And did Deandre try to peel off?
I think Deandre, like, made sure that it was going to make sure they get inside, and then she's going to peel off and see if she can get the tails to follow her.
Okay. So Mama Rosita looks at you, looks you up and down with her one open eye, and then the other eye pops open. And she sits up, and the dog stops growling, and she motions you to come in. Come in, come in.
And Nightingale enters.
What can I get for you?
I come seeking magical knowledge, a formula to create a focus, as well as information, I suppose, though that's secondary.
I see. And what is your name?
You may call me Grace. Grace Wintersblossom.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Whoop, that's Procop. We don't need to be talking to Procop right now. It's a pleasure to meet you, Grace Wintersblossom.
She gives a little courtesy bow, which for a pony is just bending her legs and bowing her head slightly.
And what is your friend's name?
Ollie.
She currently has Mama Rosita is astrally perceiving, she'd be able to tell that Ollie has a that she currently has a spell on her, a physical mask obscuring her actual form. I'd be able to extrapolate that I'm looking specifically for the formula for a sustaining focus.
I see. And to what force do you want to create this focus?
I'm not very familiar with the metahuman concept of force. I suppose he thinks about it for a second.
How strong do you want the magic to be?
It would have to be powerful enough in the form of an illusion, generally fool a camera.
Ah, indeed. Well, I can help you with that.
Well, and then she comes
you
in.
You just want the formula, or you want the foci itself, the focus itself?
I want the formula. I am not a hermetic magician, as I'm sure you can tell. As well, I have some other things that I am looking for, and I do not have anyone magical in the community that would be able to help me with those things. Not yet.
I see.
I'm willing to pay for information and leads. Introduce yourself. Okay. No, you already did.
I'm just watching.
The formula is going to be a challenge because generally we don't have formula for foci. So it sounds like you're going to need somebody to help you create one.
Mm. Well, in that case, I suppose I would need to have some of the basic theory behind the construction of formula.
Okay, yes.
The College of Magic that I attended, I was specializing in sorcery, I suppose you'd call it. I don't know much anything of enchanting. I'll have to learn, and I'll have to do that with metahuman sources, unfortunately.
Indeed. Yes, this seems quite likely that you are not familiar with our schools of magic. She looks you up and down again. In fact, I'm somewhat surprised that you need a foci, but that is neither here nor there. Well, we have the raw material, and she sort of leads you. She gets up, and the little dog hops off of her lap onto the countertop and continues to eye you suspiciously. And she leads you over to what looks to be sort of a row upon row of very small drawers. And she, I guess you guys spend some time going through them and looking at the materials in them that are both inorganic and organic, sort of coming to grips with which ones, you know, feel the best to you, seem like that they're going to work the best for you.
I imagine she would want some kind of metal, and perhaps a gemstone.
And Mama Rosita is able to help you with that. You find that she has quite a wide variety of those materials. So I guess, what do you pick?
Let me think about it.
So these stones and things, I don't understand how they're different from, well, anything.
Do they have a moonstone, perhaps? That is very pretty. I think she'd like a moonstone as the charge, with silver or steel or some other rare earth metal like that.
Okay, so we've got the materials for your foci.
Yes.
And what else were you looking for?
I'm also searching for someone who would be able to help me in the process of developing a spell. I do not fit into this, as I know you can tell. And I'm interested in pioneering a metahuman form spell, I suppose.
Ah, interesting. Hmm.
Well. My current contact is him, is himself mundane. And the only magical association he has direct contact with banned me because I was not metahuman and I did not take kindly to their discrimination.
She chuckles somewhat and absentmindedly reaches out and sort of pats you on the head. That is not surprising.
I mean, Grace is not offended by this.
And she gets back up on, and as she does that, the dog sort of growls at you again.
Oh, do not be. I'll be gone.
She gets back up on the chair and picks the dog up and puts it on her lap, and the dog gives you a look like, ha ha.
Ha ha, I'm going to sit in her lap.
Says, well, I could potentially, possibly make some introductions for you. However, I don't know you. And as you've probably realized, this world we live in is all about relationships.
Yes, ma'am. Do you want an exchange of sorts? More than just Nguyen?
I think potentially this would be more beneficial to establishing a relationship and rapport between ourselves.
Wait, sorry, what'd you say?
I do believe an exchange other than Nguyen would be beneficial in establishing a relationship and a rapport between ourselves.
Well, in which case, I do have a contact. He is not of much use to me, but I believe that he would be of use to you. He is a Talus Legger. He moves magical goods through less formal channels, and he has connections with a major magical society, the Aurelic Order of something or order other. They're very snooty, very stuffy, and again, racist, I suppose.
I know who you are. Well, it's no wonder that you were not accepted there. She sort of chuckles again. But, well, who is your contact?
I know him as Greg. I do not know if that is his actual name.
Greg is a talismonger?
Legger. He does legwork for people such as you.
I see. Okay. And who else might you know? Who can vouch for you in the shadows?
I know Miss Magnum Foot.
I know Miss Magnum Foot as well.
She is something of a, well, she has referred to herself on several occasions as my sixth world mother to others.
Let me get in touch with Miss Magnum Foot and some other people, and I will see, find out whether the people that I know who can teach you would be amenable to working with.
Okay.
Do you have a comm code, or would you like to just stop by?
She pulls out a notebook and a pen and quickly writes down her comm code and pulls the page free and offers it up to Mama Rosita. And she pauses and then pulls it back and writes down her name. And then underneath that, in smaller script, she writes, associate it with Miss Magnum Foot. And then she offers it back up. And then she pulls it back again. And then she draws a tree and she offers it.
Mama Rosita takes it and then she places it under the counter in front of her. And when she reaches back, comes back out with her hand, she has a small gray feather in it, which she hands to you. And she says, take this. It means that you are under my protection while you are in the mall.
Oh, thank you. And she immediately does take it. And she is, well, she's curious. And she immediately looks over it. Is it just a normal feather? Or is it magical?
It's not magical.
Can she identify what species it is, or does she just not have any idea? She can't imagine.
You don't know. It's a smaller feather, but it's very clean and crisp in its edges. It's not, you know, sort of like a down feather. It's a more of a wing feather.
She's gonna pull out a little plastic bag to put it in, and then keep it on the top of her bag. You know, like one of those sandwich bags. And she gives her thanks, and she goes and gathers up the things that she was planning to buy for the construction of the focus. She sets it on the front counter, and she says, well, with all that sorted out, how much Nguyen do I owe you?
Let's see. That was what did you say it was? A spellcasting focus?
Yeah, she's trying to construct a spellcasting focus. So these are the raw materials thereof.
I don't want to second guess you, but spellcasting or sustaining?
Sustaining. I said sustaining the first time. Sorry.
All right. And what force did you want to end up having this thing?
Honestly, meta out of character. Veronica, what would you suggest? I think you said 4 last time.
Yeah, I would probably recommend about 4. But those are also not super easy to get.
Yeah. But you don't have the actual focus right now. You just have the raw materials and the promise to get to help construct one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in the end, Mama Rosita charges you 2,000.
Can she try and gently bullshit the price down a little bit?
Of course. You can do a negotiation roll.
Whenever she comes out with the price, Grace is going to look a little pensive, and she's going to look up at Mama Rosita, and that's a little bit of a high of an asking price. I know we just started doing business with one another, but I'm sure you can understand why I might be a little concerned with how much Nuyen I have in my pocket.
Of course.
Would it be possible for it to go any lower?
I could go... Let's see. I could go lower if you would be willing to trade.
What would I have to trade?
Yeah, so if we go down this route, it's going to be not going to be a roll. It's going to be a judgment call on your part. He says, a hair from your mane. He looks slyly at you.
Why do you need a hair from my mane?
Clearly, you are not a mundane creature.
Well, this much is
your
true.
Your mane has value, just as the reagents or the materials that I sold you have value.
But a single strand would not be much good in hermetic craft. I know that for a fact. And further, well, such things can be used as weapons.
This is true.
And if I give you, allow you to pluck a full strand of my mane, I would be worried about not just you. I do not believe that you are ill intent. Can I do judge intentions, by the way?
Sure. You get the sense that she's actually more testing you, desiring a strand of your hair.
I know that it can be used as a weapon. And, well, I'm not saying that I doubt your intentions, that you genuinely just wish to have something exotic or perhaps sell it to the highest bidder. But I'm more worried about what others might do with, or what that person you sell it to might do with it. There are many things that one can do with a link such as that of flesh. They could kill me.
You're very wise. I'm happy to hear this. It will make doing business with you easier in the future. So perhaps this is where we're going to make our roll. Perhaps, let's say, 1,700 Nuyen.
1,500. I'm going to roll it now. I'm gonna post-edge that. Wait, can I do that? Yeah. Okay, so that would be... That's a 2. And I don't add edge to that, right? When post-edging, I don't roll edge to it, 2, right?
All right, so in the end, she relents, and she gives him to you. She sells the materials to you for 1,500 new years.
Okay.
And she calls it... She calls it the new customer discount. In the meantime, Dinder's left you guys to try to lead the tail or the people following you guys away.
I think Dinder literally just, as soon as she saw they were in the shop, she just turned around and started walking back out, like back towards where the tail would be, both to see what happens when she walks past them and to see who they are.
Okay, so make another perception test then. I don't think there's a specific skill for this. I think perception is probably the best we've got.
Could I roll my shadowing skill? Because technically that's what they're doing.
That makes a lot of sense.
4.
Where is shadowing?
It's in the...
Got it.
Yeah.
They are doing a very good job of blending into the crowd. However, you are able to start to see the patterns of them moving around. It's always the same 4 people that seem to be coming back around past you. They're all 4 of them elves. They're dressed in nondescript clothing, nothing that stands out too much. It's 3 men and a woman of indeterminate age. And that's about what you pick up from them. But you're pretty sure that you've consistently been seeing these 4 people sort of circulating through the crowd in a pattern that suggests that they're keeping an eye on you.
I think Dinder would, after a few minutes of just standing somewhere waiting,
eating the second shawarma.
Probably. Very, like not committedly eating it, just like slightly munching on it. She eventually just walks up to one of them.
Okay, make a shadowing test. They are actively attempting to not be engaged by you.
I'm going to edge that shadowing test to reroll. I have to roll bad luck first. No, bad luck does not trigger. So, shadowing roll number 2. 3.
Okay, the woman sort of is coming through the crowd, sort of not looking at you and perusing the wares, you attempt to approach her and get close to her, she just sort of seems to melt off into the crowd in another direction. And she actually managed to lose you. You guys are keeping track of your edge, right? Because I think both of
you... Yep. This is a new day, so...
Yeah, you're full edge, if you have edge.
Very edgy.
Yeah, and so after that, you don't see them anymore. They must have realized that they've been made and sort of backed off.
I think Deandre is going to kind of wait around in the crime mall a bit for Nightingale and Boxer to finish.
All right.
Actually, there is something very restricted I wanted to look for in the crime mall, and that is some breaking and entering tools.
Core rulebook or a different rulebook?
The core rulebook to the Maglock sequencer and passkey. I have one.
Didn't you already buy one?
I have a passkey. I was looking for a sequencer, first of all, because it's to get through keypadded Maglocks. And then the other ones, I just wanted a better one, if I could get one.
Oh, that's right. You got a keycard copier and a Maglock passkey.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to buy a Maglock sequencer?
Yep, and checking if I can find a better passkey.
All right. I guess make an edge test.
Edge. 2.
All right. After a little bit of hunting around, you find a vendor who seems to have quite a bit of B&E type tools and things. And he's it's a little hole in the wall kind of store, full of old locks, mechanical locks, electronic locks, safes, all sorts of things like manner of things like that. And then he's got a wide selection of lockpicking type gear. He's a dwarf. He's sitting on a stool, much like Mama Rosita. He's watching a Tridcast and looks up as the door chimes as you walk through.
Sisercon.
He's wearing a monocle of all things. And between the monocle and the bushy red beard that's pretty much covering his whole face, that's pretty much all you see of him. A monocle, a big red nose, and a big bushy red beard. And he looks up at you and he says, yeah, what can I help you with?
I'm looking for a specific tool. I think Deandre kind of glances around to see if she can just spot it. Will let me get through some pesky locks. I'm a locksmith by trade.
Ah, okay. So you're looking for a maglock passkey or
a sequencer?
Either a sequencer. Or. Okay. Yeah, I've got a couple here. How much are you looking to spend on it?
Quite a chip. I was looking for one of specifically high quality.
Right. All right. So let's see. Well, we've got this Renraku one here. That'll run you about 400 Nuyen. That's a rating 1/1. It's not that great. If you're looking for something more higher end, let me see. He starts shuffling through some boxes. Oh, I've got this one here. This is actually an MCT subsidiary that made these. I think they're out of business now, but this is still a better one, one of the better ones out there. This is a rating 4. I can give you that one for about 1,200. You're looking for something even more higher than that?
I prefer something more higher, but the rating 4
around.
One is certainly something I can pick up if you'll keep an eye out on a higher rating one.
Yeah, I can get one. It'll just take me a couple of days. Don't usually keep them in stock very long. Somebody picks them up when I've got them, so
yeah.
I can definitely get you.
Well,
you want me to hang on to it for you, and you'll be back in a couple
actually,
of days.
I had a proposition.
Okay.
I'll give you 1,400 for that, and you acquire for me a rating 6 sequencer and passkey.
Okay, so you want to buy this one right here?
Yes.
For
and
1,400,
I want,
and you
I want
me to
give,
get you.
I want to buy it at your price, and then give you 200 New Yen to acquire for me a rating 6 Maglock and passkey, and I'll pay the difference when they arrive.
That's true. Yeah, that works for me. I mean, that's a good retainer fee.
Well, that sounds good to me. So,
take me about 3 or 4 days.
Here's my. You know what? I'll just be back in 4 days.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to.
I'll be right here. Crime Mall never sleeps.
Crime Mall does indeed never sleep.
Says, Timberwolves and the Screamers are going at it. If we got no further business, I'm going to get back to watching.
Well, have fun.
All right, have a good one. See you in
too.
A couple of days.
I will.
All right, so the three of you meet back up. Business attended to. Does Ollie, want to do some shopping?
In the literal mall.
All right. Well, awkward pause, and then we'll cut to Cecile.
Where was I last? Was I still at the Samovar?
When we left off, you were at the Samovar. You had gotten the instructions from Nadia.
Had I just left Nadia? Or was I just ambiguously training?
You were just ambiguously training.
Okay. Well, Nadia, I think I've gotten everything out of this that I will.
She smiles at you with that strange smile that she has, although she does seem pleased with your progress. Well, I think you did. You're not a bad student, actually.
I was pursuing a magical degree. They don't let in just anyone, you know.
She chuckles slightly. True. But academia, well, it's not quite the same as actually practicing.
You would be surprised.
We shall see.
In any case, do you know if Prokop is available?
Prokop is not available.
Have him message me when he is. I have matters of importance to discuss.
He's actually traveling at the moment.
Hmm.
But I will let him know, although I don't have much cause to speak to him on a day-to-day basis. That would be more Talia's area of responsibility. She smiles
at him.
In that
case, I'll come back later. It's fine. I was simply going to get those bomb fragments.
Ah, yes. I can help you with that.
Perfect. In that case, the other thing wasn't that important.
Okay, so the bomb fragments that we have, I can let you examine them if that will be sufficient for your needs.
Locking down all of the evidence then?
Well, let's just say that you're an outside contractor and not really a member of the family.
I'll just have a look. I'll also see what someone I know can do about this.
Sure.
All right.
So she leads you to another room where they have some things. Some of it you see is wreckage of the aftermath of the bombing.
Mm.
And then she's going around. She has some of the stuff she pulls out and pulls up onto a table, and she points it out to you. She says, "This looks here. We believe that this might have been part of the casing. This right here looks like it might have been part of the electronic device. We're having it analyzed for residue to see if we can track what type of explosive it was and where it came from." And then she points at some other small pieces that are laying in a little box. And she said those are the fragments that came out of Kaylee.
And I assume you've already sensed all of it?
To some extent.
Not thoroughly, then.
No, unfortunately, Talia is traveling with Prokop, and that tends to be more her area of expertise.
Can't say I ever studied that hard on it myself, but I'll give it all a look. So I don't know what I would need to roll to look at, like, the individual parts of it and make some kind of connection, but I'll definitely sense it.
All right, so what does the... So a sensing is... A sensing is... Does it have anything to do... A sensing is just magical in nature, right?
Yeah, there can be... like minute things, like psychic impressions left on things, but you need to have either psychometry or it for it to be like used as a symbolic link. Not symbolic. Anyway, I can give it a shot. If I roll like 16, you know, not that I will, but you never. May I?
Sure.
4. Okay.
I'm just trying to find a description of it that'll help me out.
Not a terrible result.
Yeah, sorry. Sensing is the skill of learning information from auras, astral forms, and astral signatures. Only characters capable of astral perception or mystic adept quality and the astral perception adept power may take or use this skill. So first question is, do you have the skill?
Yes. I'm not expecting to get anything terribly, like, meaningful from this, but better thorough than, you know, not thorough.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not going to get anything from this.
That's fine.
Except for, obviously, the shrapnel that came from Kaylee would have the residue of her blood on it, which would leave some astral signature for you to sense. So that's basically what you get from it. You confirm the fact that these are the fragments that injured Kaylee.
Okay. Now, what do I need to roll to, like, actually, I don't know, analyze the debris? Because I don't have, like, explosives or anything. I do have hardware and perception.
You can roll hardware and, yeah, you can roll hardware and let's say hardware and intuition.
Can I add my dice from my forensics knowledge?
Sure.
Nice. Okay. So hardware plus dice from forensics. Ooh, okay. That's a little worse than I was hoping for, but whatever.
You examine the little fragment of electronics that she thought was part of the control device, and it's you see a couple of markings on it, and you think that with some further time on the matrix, you can probably at least identify that what electronic device that came from.
Hmm. Okay. Can I just take a picture and go through it later?
So you've grabbed a snap of that. You also have the information that they have, that ProCop's organization has acquired and secured some of this evidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nadia didn't seem to mind showing it to you, even though she wasn't going to let you leave with it.
So what other evidence do they have other than physical stuff?
At the moment, that's all they have.
Oh, well, I will work on this, Nadia. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
She goes back to her hotel. She has to sort through stuff done. Speaking of, can she look at those files she took off of the comlink?
If she wants to.
Yeah, what'd she grab? Let's open that loot box.
So the file from the comlink, hang on a second. I've got to open a file on my own. The file on the comlink is what appears to be a fragment of a dossier that was being put together by somebody. The dossier was being put together for somebody at the behest of Mary Luce. And it attempted to detail the entire sequence of events that led to where you are now, where Hideo Yoshida did assassinate the head of Yamatetsu, and the whole story behind George Van Housen and Kirill Petrov setting up ICE and his team and ProCop to take the fall for that, and how Mary Luce protected the nurse Akamai, who was sort of the whistleblower for the whole situation. So basically, it has evidence that this Hideo Yoshida, you know, it has concrete evidence and circumstantial evidence detailed in it that Hideo Yoshida was responsible for the death of Tadamako Shibanokuji, who was then the CEO of Yamatetsu. Yoshida wanted to take over Yamatetsu, and he failed. And part of what happened, this is part of the story of how Buttercup rose to prominence and took over Yamatetsu and how it eventually became Evo. So there's a lot of really ancient history here. Some of it you know, some of you don't. You know, some of it's public knowledge of, you know, what went on, but what you're seeing here is basically evidence that Hideo Yoshida had used Kirill Petrov, who was a fixer for Yamatetsu, to hire some shadow runners, and he used ProCop as sort of a cutout to murder both Akamai and Mary Luce. The reason this file was so dangerous, and the reason people were after you, Kirill Petrov was after you, because the file proved that he was part of that, you know, and obviously Mary Luce knows that she's going to get rid of him, but it's even more dangerous because it incriminates Hideo Yoshida, who is the CEO of Evo South America. So Mary Luce now has this information. This is one of the things that you gave her. So having given her that and her knowing now that Kirill Petrov has betrayed her and attempted to have her killed at some point in the past, she then hired you to go out and find evidence to get so that she could get rid of Kirill Petrov. She basically didn't want to use this file because she didn't want anybody to know that she has it, and because it's much more powerful leverage over Hideo than it is over Kirill. She can get rid of Kirill by just having some Shadowrunners dig up some dirt on him. But, you know,
Shadowrunners, huh?
Yeah. In a corporate power struggle, the file is going to be much more useful to her against Hideo Ishida.
Right. Okay. Cool. What about the files from Diane?
The one that you took off of her comlink?
Yeah. You said I just downloaded three.
Yeah. I downloaded one was meaningful. Three. One was, it wasn't that it was meaningful. It was that it was valuable pay data. It's not relevant or pertinent. It's just something that you know you could probably sell.
Ah, okay. Okay, so I'll just hold on to it for right now. I don't need to sell that immediately.
Yeah, that's just money.
Oh, you didn't tell me how much.
Well, you haven't tried to sell it yet.
Touche. I mean,
when I say money, I'm just saying it's figurative money.
Oh yeah, no. When you said pay data, I'm just curious. I'm like, ooh, what is it, like financial records for?
Yeah, I realized when I said it that needed to be clarified.
Ambiguous pay data acquired.
That doesn't mean we can't do it. All right, so I sent you in your direct message, I sent you sort of a breakdown of the file on from the comlink. The everything off.
I will look over this in great detail later.
Yeah, it gives you the in-depth history of where all of this started. And basically, so when Cecilia was poking around, she found this fragment of a file. There was a tracker attached to the file. When it got downloaded, it triggered a series of events and led to where we are today. Some of this stuff is canon. Some of it is adaptation of canon. Interestingly, Hideo Yoshida was part of a faction within Yamatetsu that was very anti-metahuman.
Ah.
But he has since undergone surge. Yeah. Karma.
It's not karma. It's dramatic irony. Okay. Ba-ba-ba. Can I look at Kirsten's feed and try to figure out where she is right now?
Yeah, she's she appears to be in school.
Good on her.
Are you headed back to your hotel?
She's going to take a lovely bath.
There is a Mitsubishi Night Sky in Evo livery in the parking lot.
Of course there is. Of course there is. Okay, let me think. No, you can't keep a CEO waiting. That's just bad manners. And bad for your health. Alright, Cecile's gonna walk in and try her best to look not like a beacon of weird.
Not like a beacon of weird.
Listen.
So you're walking into the hotel, into the lobby, and you see Alice DeVry sitting in the lounge, in one of the chairs. She seems to be having a cup of tea, and she's facing the door, and as you walk in, she gives you sort of a nod.
Is that like a come over here nod or like a I see you nod?
It's probably a come over here nod.
Cecile puts on her best fake smile and walks out.
Hello, Cecile. How are you today?
Pretty decent. I've gotten a good night's rest, finally.
Indeed. She looks around at the hotel and she says, yeah, things seem to be working out for you.
Indeed. Might I ask what brings you here?
Well, we wanted to have a talk with you. Seems like you've been quite busy lately, so we figured that we'd catch you here. Yes.
Good. I always love these little talks.
Have a seat. Would you like something to drink?
Yes. Could I have some chamomile?
Of course. She does some motions in AR, and a few minutes later, one of the staff from the restaurant shows up with a cup of hot chamomile tea and a little cup of honey, real honey, of course. And then Alice looks at you and she says, "Well, things have been put in motion as you discussed with our mutual employer."
Indeed.
And she has asked me to speak to you personally to let you know that she will be honoring the agreement that you have to reinstate you at the university.
Already?
It will be coming up relatively quickly, but we wanted to talk strategy.
Of course.
What we were thinking to say, and this can be, we can negotiate this to some extent. We're going to say that the original stories that ran in the news about your kidnapping were accurate. You were kidnapped and feared dead and then rescued by Evo security personnel and are now reinstated and returning to college. Simple as that.
Mm, indeed. That's the plan that I had hoped to go with anyway. Except I was going to name drop some rival megacorporation. A AAA, obviously.
We don't want to stir anything like that up. That
would, of course,
probably be a little bit, yes, not necessary. Let's just say it's not necessary. And in fact, it's somewhat more advantageous to our further actions that you gain a reputation. Let's just say it like that.
I hope, certainly hope it's a good kind.
It is a useful kind.
Of course it is.
She looks at you. Remember, we are in the quiver of a rather powerful organization and personality.
Yes, yes, we live and drink at their behest. I know.
I'm sure you do, actually, Cecile. But I would keep an eye on the news.
I always
can. Podcasts are going to get rather interesting for certain people of mutual interest very shortly.
I know better than to ask, so...
Our mutual employer tends to act quickly and decisively.
Have you known a CEO that doesn't?
That's a good point, I guess. In any case, your dorm room has been unlocked again, and your passkey should work for it. The University of Washington security personnel have been notified that you are reinstated with full access as before. Congratulations. You can return to your previous life.
That's wonderful. I hope you won't be offended if I ask. I happen to be in the middle of helping some friends out with some investigations. Nothing serious, of course. Nothing dangerous.
I see.
Missing persons.
Sure.
Brother ran off long ago. You get how it is.
Mm-hmm. So you intend to continue pursuing these avenues?
I'll probably charge, yeah.
Okay, good. Good. This is much in keeping with what our common employer had in mind for you and establishing your relationship anyways.
That's good. I was more hoping to get a head start on repaying my debts. I'm sure you remember when you had those, huh?
Oh, we all have debts.
I mean of the monetary kind.
Oh, right. It was long ago, Cecile.
I'm sure. In any case, I'm going to be going now. It's always lovely to see you.
I'm sure it is. Likewise. She gets up and she says, right, so you will be going back to Washington U, right?
I can't think of where else I would go, yes.
Okay, because that's... Just wanted to confirm that verbally, since that was the plan and expectation of our employer.
I am rather beginning to feel like I am being herded, however.
No, you don't have to go now. I'm just saying you're not going to attempt to disappear into the shadows.
That sounds rather unpleasant. I don't know why I would do that.
All right, Cecile, good luck to you.
I wish you good luck, but I know you don't need it.
Imagine we'll be seeing each other around again.
I hope not.
Okay. She leaves.
Cecile's going to go up into her room and do her best to relax in the bath.
Yeah, you have all the amenities there. Deandir.
Yes.
Well, I guess, do you guys have anything?
If Cecile knows that she's going to be going back to university soon, she's going to, after she takes a bath, immediately start studying again.
All right. Is Deandir going to do anything interesting?
I'm considering if I should go after the people who are following her in the crime line. Just to be like, why were these people following me? But I don't know if that's too much work.
You can do a memory test minus two.
Gotta love memory minus two. One.
You're not sure, but at least one of the men in the team could have been one of the men that warned you to stop following up on Riam.
Oh, this is gonna be fun. I think Deandir might go back to the breaking and entering guy and see if he has like a body sensor or a body cam, basically.
He's still watching the tridcast of the Timberwolves versus the Screamers. The Tacoma Timberwolves versus the Seattle Screamers in an urban brawl match. When you walk in, he steps up and looks back at the tridcast and just says, "Ain't got it yet. I said 4 or 5 days."
I might have other needs. I'm just going to look around for it.
All right, suit yourself. He does have a good selection of micro and mini cameras that you can attach to various places and slave to your comlink or other electronic devices. Sort of the bread and butter of his business.
I guess those would be pretty easy to spot in AR if you were recording, right?
You could not have them wirelessly active.
Okay, I think that's what she's going to do. She's going to get wired cameras, like two of them probably.
Yeah, they don't even have to be wired necessarily. You can simply have them record without being attached to your comlink, and then at a later time download the files off them or connect them to the wireless. But if you don't want them to be visible in AR, you just have them run wirelessly or, not be connected to the network right now.
I think she's going to get probably two or three mid-rating Tridio cameras that she could feasibly hide in her outfit.
Okay.
And she's just gonna, basically after picking up all of the tools she thinks she's going to need, she comes back and just dumps them on the... And is like, "I'll take these."
He looks over. "All right, that'll be, let's see. Just make it 175.
Sure. Deandre just...
Probably a deal, but, whatever.
Pays it. I think Deandre's going to stake out, or basically, show up in the crime mall every day and wander around trying to get spot them again.
Okay. Let's see. How should we do this? I think she ends up spotting them on the way to the mall one day.
Spots them, going to the mall as well, or, just there in a car and Deandre is not, or...
She's on the way to the mall and she manages to see them waiting there for her. They're staked out waiting for you to come by.
I think Deandre would attempt to... She'd, pull away and set up her cameras and walk up to them, basically.
It's possible that your pattern of going to the mall every day has been noticed, so that's probably why they're hanging out there waiting. All right, so what we're going to do again is we're going to do the same thing again with an opposed shadowing test to see whether you can actually get up on them without them noticing.
Okay, wait. So what does pre-edging do again? You know what? I'm not going to do that because, I could... bad luck. So, 4.
All right. You, you managed to sneak up on two of them that are standing at one of the entrances to the mall. One of them smoking some kind of a cigarette, and the other one is tending to watch a tridcast. And when you manage to peer between them,
I think Deandre wants to kind of sit for a few seconds close to them, trying to get Tridio footage of them, enough.
Yeah, you can definitely do that.
Then she's going to basically just walk up to them and go, like, walk directly up to them and kind of just stand in front of them for a second.
At first, they pretend like they're just going about their business, like the girl, the woman watching the tridio, you know, sort of just pretends like she's going to keep watching it. And the man taking a smoke break is just sort of like acts like he's finishing a cigarette and drops it and extinguishes it with the heel of his foot and turns like he's going to walk away.
Deandre is going to basically go, "Hey, fucker," and Sprethiel at them.
Is that all she says?
I think that's the first thing she says, and then after that, she's like, she says, "So, you've been following me. You obviously have something to say to me. So, let's hear it."
The man turns to you and says, "I don't know what you're talking about. You have me mistaken for somebody else."
"So, I have you mistaken for someone else. That'd be pretty hard if I weren't very good at people's faces. Or if I didn't have footage of you guys following me." That's pure Deandre bluffing as well.
He
I can roll con if you would like.
His composure cracks a little bit, and you see a sort of anger come up from underneath. And he sort of, his mouth twists into a grimace, and he says, "We already told you what we wanted to tell you. Rianne's dead. Drop it."
"Well, if he is dead, I'd like to see his brain."
He looks at you incredulously. "Why would anybody have his brain?
I don't know.
Dead.
Were they keeping his dead body? Perhaps in a morgue, if he were dead?"
"Listen, lady, it happened some time ago. Nobody's keeping any bodies."
"Well, then where's his grave? I'll dig it up myself."
We don't bury people in graves, especially not traitors."
"Oh, traitors to who exactly?"
He looks at the woman who's still pretending to watch the trid screen, and he says, "Doesn't matter. He was a traitor."
"Well, until I get a satisfying answer, I'm going to keep on doing what I'd like to."
"It's not going to lead you anywhere you want to be."
"Well, I guess we'll figure that out when we get there."
"Fine. I'm telling you, though, it's a dead end. There's nothing but dead ends. Some of them will be literal."
"Well, next time put out your damn cigarette before you drop it on the ground. You could light something on fire that..." And then Deandre just walks off.
So you just took video and audio, I imagine.
"Yes.
Cameras are certainly going to capture audio."
"On multiple different cameras."
"So what did, when you talked to..." Wait, who did you talk to again? Was it Buzz?
"Yeah, Buzz."
"What did Buzz tell you?"
"Buzz told me that Lieutenant Clean and him were working together. Or not Buzz, but Rian and Lieutenant Clean were working together. And that they were Shadowrunners, basically, or the Corp equivalent of Shadowrunners."
"Right. They were working. They were an MCT Black Ops team."
"Yep. I think that's about it. I don't have any of the notes. Buzz was contracted to run a distraction for them, basically. I think that's about it."
"He was like a low-level guy that they used to use to create distractions on the street. And then there was Zeke."
Zeke informed me about Buzz, first of all. Or, no, Zeke is my B&E dealer, basically."
"Okay, yep. Zeke was the guy you got the Lay's cigarettes from."
"Yeah, the Lay's, and he kitted up my suit when I was building it."
"All right. Did Buzz tell you, did Buzz give you a name of the organization that Rian was working for?"
"Other than MCT, no."
"Okay. So that's still some, there's still some stuff there that you need to find out."
"Well, she has something to run off this time, at least. Some footage to use for facial recognition. Figure out who these people are that are just following Deandre around, basically."
"Yeah, if only Cecile would ever answer her call."
"Yeah, if only Cecile would help me, like she said she would."
"Yeah.
Whatever could she be up to that's so important anyway?"
"Well, it's probably not going to be anything illegal, right? Right?"
"Anyway, I think that's it, other than Deandre trying to figure out where Cecile is so she can try to get her to work on the damn case."
"I think the, how are you guys doing?"
"I'm doing fine. I need to finish my write-up for an event that I'm going to tomorrow." for a deck that I'm going to play, but that's about it. It's almost done anyways.
I think our next session is going to be a wrap-up for season one of the podcast.
Season one?
Yeah. Wow.
There are seasons?
Whole season.
Yeah.
God.
I mean, we're up to, we've released 15 episodes, and there's probably another 15. I mean, the first season's probably going to be like 30 episodes.
That's not bad.
And organically, it feels like this initial story arc is wrapping
coming to
up.
An end.
So I think next week it's definitely going to wrap up with Mary Luce taking action against Kirill Petrov. And, you know, so basically Cecile and the team will see the results of their work. And then there are, you know, so that would wrap that up. Cecile would be reinstated at Washington University. And you basically your business with Prokop, Kirill Petrov is ended. Boxer has a mission that she needs to do. For Bravo Company, and Dinder is starting to get more clues about who or what happened to Rian, and then potentially we'll weave in something with Grace as well. So I think those things would probably be season two. And it would be nice if, for the conclusion, we have everybody in game, right?
Mm-hmm. God, now I'm scared. What's going to happen?
It's going to be fine. Nothing to worry
it's
about.
It's not going to be fine.
It's
not going to be fine.
Alice DeVry told you everything was going
to
be fine.
Yeah, and that means nothing's going to be fine. For the record, Paul, just in case you were wondering, I am still looking to get back at Alice DeVry. And by get back, I mean like stun bolt her at force 10. So, you know, if you want to weave that in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just start slinging spells in the lobby of the hotel.
Oh, no. No, just, you know, if a good opportunity comes up and Seal doesn't have to play nice with her anymore, you know, just, like, say a one-liner, pop her in the face, put her in a hotel room, and then, like, call up Mary Luce. Like, oh, I found this for you. It seems to be yours.
Drug her with lace.
No, that's too mean. See, what Cecile wants is to punch her in the face and then to humiliate her.
All right.
In that order, I should say.
There may be it sounds like you're going to be, she expects to be seeing you more often, so
yeah,
the opportunity may arise.
Yeah, Cecile is not on board with that.
No. Alice DeVry is a harbinger of nothing good.
And Cecile has amassed quite a few favors that she owes to people. She owes her data broker a favor. She owes Nadia a favor. I don't like owing Nadia a favor. It's not as bad as owing Prokop, but it's bad.
Yeah, maybe worse.
Cecile can't know that. Like, okay, Prokop is a weird Russian man in a suit that's flanked at seemingly all times by two pretty magical women. Okay, that's real bad news.
True. That
bad
is
news
sort
Bob.
Of weird.
That's like, that's Prokop's nickname.
Bad news Bob.
Like, owing Nadia a favor, she's a mage. You know, like, there's at least some common ground there. Like, she's weird, but what mage isn't weird? You ever met a normal mage?
Yeah, she has a strange relationship to Talia, too. Somewhat submissive. And the episode where you met Prokop for the first time, Talia basically sort of did sort of the finger flicking motion to like you would do for the help or the to like buzz off.
Mm-hmm.
And Nadia just sort of bowed and left.
So yeah, Cecile is not happy about owing Nadia a favor, but like, you know, it's not Prokop and it's not Mary Luce.
No, I guess Mary Luce doesn't really have any need of favors from Cecile.
Why,
Mary Luce probably
why call it a favor when you can just tell them what to do?
Exactly.
Ooh.
All right.
I am eagerly awaiting exploding.
It'll have to wait till next session, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I can explode anytime I want to, you know?
Mm.
I'm going to stop Greg here. Anything else before I stop Greg?
Nope. The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sounds, audio, video, and or any proprietary material used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to the Hard Knock Sorority podcast to use such names, logos, artwork, marks, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with the Hard Knock Sorority podcast in any official capacity whatsoever. The music for the Hard Knock Sorority podcast was written and performed by Trace Mineral. The Hard Knock Sorority podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons License 4.0, meaning you are welcome to use the material as long as you give us credit.
Together through endless nights.